Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Hello and welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Schoerlein, and this is episode number 41. Today is December 12th, 2019, and we're back. There was a little break again. You know, holidays get kind of crazy. I kind of underestimated, I should say, my availability to record. We haven't spoken since just before the Islanders left on a West Coast trip. So we're going to try to catch back up on the last nine games, kind of what's transpired, how they've been playing, how the team's been doing individually, and everything from there. Now, I want to start the show off because I thought this was really funny, and it was, you know, something I kind of needed here to emphasize some of the struggles of being a podcaster, especially somebody with a Long Island accent, half of a Queens accent from time to time when I get annoyed. There was a new review on iTunes, and someone kind of took a star away because I mispronounce things from time to time. Now, I am not a professional voice guy. I'm just somebody who kind of does this because it's fun, as you all know. And I thought I was doing much better in that department. Last year, I really butchered Anthony Beauvillier's name by kind of reversing the V and the L. And I guess apparently I've been doing the same thing with Semyon Varmalov this year. But it was an eye-opening experience. Nevertheless, thank you for the mostly good review. If you haven't really gotten out there and given us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever, please go out there and do so. It does help with other people finding the show. It kind of brings, you know, the show back near the top. So please just do us a favor and go out there and do that for us. But yes, Semyon Varlamov, not Varmalov, Varlamov. I've been literally driving around for the last week trying to get these correctly stated. But yes, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. So here we go. The Islanders' record as of today, they play this evening in Sunrise, Florida against the Panthers, is 27-2. It's the first time in their history, per Eric Hornick, that they've won 20 of their first 29 games. They sit third in the East. They're 4 points back of Boston, who have 3 games in hand. And they are 9 points back of the Washington Capitals, whom they have 4 games in hand on. They sit second in the Metro, 3 points up on Carolina, as well as Philadelphia, and 4 points up on the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Islanders are 4-4-1 in their last nine. The goalie rotation continues. We're at 29 games into the season. I know morning practice is happening right now down in Sunrise. Not sure who the starter is going to be. Might update that as the, you know, episode goes here today. But they are 17-0-1 when scoring at least 3 goals, 3-7-1 when they don't. So obviously, very telling stat there. Scoring wins games in this league, not just defense. If you give your goaltenders the run support, so to speak, you know, you have a better chance of winning. That's definitely a stat you can't really, you know, argue. Over the last nine, some, you know, stats here. 5-1 win most recently over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Brock with 2 goals. They lost to Dallas 3-1. I actually didn't get a chance to see that game in its entirety. I only saw the last couple of minutes. They won over Las Vegas 3-2 in overtime. Ryan Pulak with the OT hero. Kind of funny scrum at the end of the game there in overtime. Everybody kind of went down into the corner. Anders Lee finds Pulak out in front there, who walks in and scores. I thought Subban played a fantastic game that game. Now, I haven't really seen him play all that much since he's come into the league, but he's definitely rounded out his skill set and his style. I thought he played fantastic. Good to see, you know, another viable goaltender in the league. That's something, you know, is going to be beneficial for everyone, really. You know, he's making quite a name for himself out there in Las Vegas. Lost to Montreal 4-2, which was on the second half of a back-to-back, both travel games. They won over Detroit the day prior 4-1. Then you had the 2-0 shutout over Columbus, which Greiss came out there in the first period, said to Trotz he couldn't go. Varlamov came back in, not relief, but just, you know, a split there. Well, maybe even in relief, I guess you can say, even though it wasn't of any fault of Greiss's. They managed to collectively get the shutout. One of those weird quirks that I guess Greiss gets the credit for the win, but no goaltender gets the credit for the shutout. It's kind of interesting. They lost to the Kings, the tail end of their LA trip 4-1. Lost to the Ducks prior to that 3-0. And they started their road trip out in California with an overtime loss to the Sharks 2-1. I believe Greiss also came out of that game. Varlamov came in with like 30-something seconds left. I believe he had a skate issue, if I recall correctly. I mean, we're over like a week and a half since. So, you know, we look into some of the players' stats here. And I sat and I actually went through the whole entire roster here. So bear with me. We have a lot to cover. Not really anybody is kind of standing out, so to speak, as far as, you know, goals and points and everything. It's been kind of even. Believe it or not, Barzal and Lee are both even with 3 goals and 3 assists apiece. So that's kind of surprising. You've got Eberle kind of woke up a little bit there. He had that 2-goal game, but kind of nothing since. But yeah, Barzal, 3 goals, 3 assists, +1, 17 shots, 1 power play point. Nelson, he had a pair of goals the other night, right? 3 goals, 1 assist, -1, 34 shots, 1 power play point. This has been something that I like to keep an eye on. Not so much the plus minus, you know, it's kind of like a good gauge if you're not really going to look into the, I know it's a meaningless stat for all intents and purposes. I'm not too familiar, and I try harder every single game to watch what the advanced stats are and Corsi for, Corsi against, everything like that. But for me, the shots, when an individual player has a lot of shots, you know, and like there was that stretch of games where Nelson wasn't playing very well, he had a bunch of shots, so we knew that he was going to turn it around. And with the amount of scoring he's been doing, he is generating a lot of shots. He leads the team with 34 over the last 9 games. Josh Bailey, 1 goal, 6 assists, +3, only 6 shots, but he's got 2 power play points and a shorthanded goal. Anthony Beauvillier, 1 goal, 1 assist, -1, 12 shots, no power play points. I was kind of surprised here with Broussard. He's cooled off, only 1 goal in the last 9, -2, 12 shots, no power play points. As previously mentioned, Anders Lee, 3 goals, 3 assists, -4, 26 shots, 3 power play points. He had his first power play goal the other night, which was good to see. I was kind of shocked by that as well. Jordan Eberle, like we just said, 2 goals, 2 assists, -2, 16 shots, 1 power play goal. Casey Cizikas, 1 goal, 1 assist, +2, only 11 shots, 1 shorthanded point. Cal Clutterbuck, 1 goal, +1, 6 shots. We're going to touch base on some of the other players in a minute. You'll see why. We're moving to the defense. Ryan Pulock, 1 goal, 5 assists. He's even, 21 shots, 1 power play goal. It was the game winner in overtime on the power play. Taves, 1 assist, +1, 14 shots. I was kind of surprised by that. Usually, you know, he likes to chip in offensively and haven't really seen too much of that, but he's been so steady on the back end. I know it was made a big deal the other day with his record on what he has been in the lineup since he got called up last year and stuck with the team. It's kind of crazy if you really think about it. I think it was 56 games that he has been part of a win or something like that since he's been up. I can't recall the exact number, but it was really good to see. And unsurprising, you know, if you watch Devon Taves, their game in and game out. Pelech, Actually, we skipped over Mayfield. Mayfield, one goal, three assists, plus one, 11 shots. He had a bunch of penalty minutes, I believe nine over the last nine games. Pelech, two assists, plus one, 14 shots. Boychuk, 0 points. Believe it or not, he's even. 15 shots. Now, Boychuk likes to chip in every now and then. He is generating shots. Obviously not known as a prolific goal scorer or anything, but I, you know, would love to see him kind of chip in a little bit more here. Letty as well, only two assists, minus three, seven shots, but he did miss two games over the last nine, including the most recent game the other night in Tampa. And I do not believe he is slated to go tonight. That could change. Per the morning skate, it looked like Dobson was paired with Boychuk. So we're going to see what happens there. Now moving into Dobson, and we have a couple of players here who have kind of sat out a couple of games here and there and haven't really done all that much. Dobson, two games, plus two, zero shots. Komarov, he's been in 6 of 9, one assist, plus one, seven shots. Matt Martin, 0 points. He's an even, six shots. A big sticking point with a lot of fans right now is Michael Dal-Col. He seems to be getting a little bit of first-line time, maybe some second-line time. Tonight, I think he's going to be with Beauvillier Nelson. That's wrong line. Been in 5 of 9 games over the last nine. 0 points, zero shots, two penalty minutes. This is a former first-rounder. There is a lot of arguments why Barry Trotz seems to be giving this kid all these opportunities, and he hasn't really done much with it. He's been in and out of the lineup. I don't really understand what Barry sees in him. He seems to pick a pet project, every now and then. He did it last year with Beauvillier and Barzell. He's kind of moved Brassard all over the place this year, kind of got Brock Nelson to be a complete player. So he obviously sees some sort of talent there. Dal-Col was a very good scorer in junior, hasn't really translated all that much here as a first liner in the NHL. The stats don't lie. He hasn't really done all that much, and granted, he hasn't really received the amount of playing time you would hope for a former first rounder, but he does play the way Trotz wants, I guess. Unfortunately, the Islanders have a lot of players that are like him, and you wouldn't want to see a first-rounder go the way of Michael Dal-Col. So it kind of remains to be seen here what he's going to ultimately settle in as an NHLer. Ross Johnston, been in 4 of the last 9. He had that amazing wrist shot the other night against Tampa off the post. So one goal, plus two, only 4 shots. Johnston is what he is. He's definitely not a first liner, but they're using him there to, I guess, try to give Barzell a little bit more space. Seems like it works out from time to time. He is a very good skater. He gets the puck in deep. He does what Barry wants, so I guess that's why he's getting that opportunity. But as the season progresses here, they're kind of all shaking down into what, you would hope is a decent roster. The faults are kind of starting to show themselves. They need scoring. I know they just scored 5 against Tampa, but over the last bunch of games, like we just went over with the scores, they got shut out to the Ducks. I believe they got shut out. Nope, that was the only one. I thought they were going to get shut out in Dallas, but they scored late. One of those games, it's just going to come down to the Islanders half to get a scorer. They need a winger. They need a third line center. You cannot have a bottom six like this where you cannot rely on them game in and game out. Barry Trotz needs to roll 4 lines. We saw that last year. That's what made them successful. That's what made them get as far as they did and have the season they did, was he was able to throw all 4 lines out there every game and not be worried about giving certain players sheltered minutes. We're going to move into the goaltending. Thomas Greiss, 1 win, 3 losses. He sports a .224 goals against this season with a .930 save percentage. Varlamov is right behind him there, but he's obviously gotten a couple more wins. 3 wins, 1 loss, 1 overtime loss. He sports a .226 goals against average and a .926 save percentage. As we previously mentioned, one of those wins was in, well, he's not credited with the win, but He came in relief of Grice, stopped 30 shots, I believe, in that shutout win over Columbus. So, obviously playing very well. He's seeing a lot of shots. They're keeping some of the danger ones to the outside, or not allowing more danger shots. I keep getting yelled at on Twitter when I say how well he's playing, as if I'm going to jinx him, which has happened in the past. I mean, but I'm not... I am not Howie Rose, who's every time he said something on the MSG broadcast would curse the Islanders. Like, but I got to comment on what I see, right? I mean, that's half the reason why most of you follow me is for the commentary and the snarkiness. We may see him receive a start in consecutive games per Arthur Staple. Obviously, like I mentioned again, it we're going to see obviously here as the day progresses. Letty might not go. Lines should be the same as the Lightning. Johnston, Barzell, Bailey, Beauvillier, Nelson, Dal Colle, Lee, Brassard, Eberle, Martin, Cizikas, Clutterbuck, Dobson with Boychuk, Palek with Pulak, Taves with Mayfield. What else? We had Elliot Friedman in his 31 Thoughts column yesterday state that the Islanders are 100% looking for a scoring winger or forward at least. And something else to look at is Ilya Sorokin was offered a KHL contract, and we obviously don't know what's going to happen there. He has been on record as saying he was going to come over to the NHL this season, which is a big reason why they brought in Varlamov. It seems to be, per the people who pay attention to the KHL more, this is kind of standard operating procedure for someone whose contract is expiring. They just automatically offer them a deal to try to stay over there because they want the best players to be in that league. You know, but he's on record as saying he wants to come to North America next year. Hopefully that's the case. Obviously, that might mean Grice is a goner, which would be a shame. He's obviously been a big part of everything the Islanders have accomplished here over the last couple of years. And, that's pretty much everything that we've missed in a nutshell. I can't believe that took me 17 minutes. You know, as we record, especially on game days, some of the things that come out are interesting like this. Coach Quenneville on playing the New York Islanders said they play a really structured, really disciplined type of game. You really have to fight for your space. Now, one of the things that we've been seeing here regularly over the last 9 games and even during the Islanders' record point streak a few weeks back, when a team adjusts to the New York Islanders, they kind of out-Islanders the Islanders in a sense. They play their style of play maybe a little bit better, and you know, Barry kind of tries to manage what happens during the course of a game, and you can see him make adjustments. But the Islanders are forced to the outside. They are limited in their shots towards the net. Sometimes, obviously, like the game against Tampa the other night, as much as they came out with a win, Tampa had, I believe, 71 attempted shots, which is ridiculous. I mean, they didn't get them all on net. I think a lot of that, well, the high-end wide shots get counted as anything towards the goal, at least as a shot on or an attempted shot. But it seems teams kind of figure the Islanders out and make adjustments in the middle of the game. And I don't believe that's a knock on Barry Trotz. He's kind of just limited with what he can do with the current roster as it's constructed. But that's when you get frustrated as a fan watching, like, oh, man, the Islanders are... They control the puck in the offensive zone, but they get forced to the outside. They'll shoot from these crazy angles because that's pretty much all they have. Lanes get closed. Passes get blocked. You know, when a good podcaster, and I always laugh about this, would have all these stats in front of them, and I don't like to chalk the episode full of a crazy amount of stats like that. I mean, it took me over an hour just to sit down with what I did write down, the 4 pages of notes, and how fast did I blow through them, you know? But optically, when you look and you yell like, oh, come on, let's get shots on net, let's get pucks deep, you know, you kind of sound like a in-between period interview. You know, it got pucks deep, you know, we kept them to the outside, kept shots down, blocked a couple of shots, sticks in lanes. It's funny when we laugh about stuff like that, but it's also true, because if you watch game in and game out, those are the things that make teams successful against the New York Islanders. It makes the New York Islanders successful against most teams. So they're obviously sticking to Trotz's system for long stretches, but then they'll make one mistake and the puck's in the back of their net. One of my buddies had texted me, because I didn't get to see the Dallas game, that the Islanders actually played a very good game, very good road game against Dallas. You know, and aside from them firing Montgomery the other day, which, you know, we're not really going to go into too many things. And then DeBoer today gets fired by the Sharks. How many coaches are we up to now at this point that have gotten fired? Five or six, something like that. That's crazy. Anyway, not to get too sidetracked. Teams figure the New York Islanders out. That's why they need more offensive firepower. They need another guy that can give some of the other talented offensive guys on this roster room to work. A J.G. Pageau would definitely help. Granted, he's playing first-line minutes, which, by the way, is the team name of my fantasy team, first-line minutes, up there in Ottawa. What would you give up for him? Would you give up a first-rounder? Who are you going to give up from the roster? Because they're going to want a roster player back. Is he going to be the same type of player on the island? You don't know. I know Staplehead said Tyler Toffoli from L.A. might be a candidate for a trade. I could see him fitting in. Again, what would you give up? Maybe Stahl from Minnesota, as much as Minnesota has been playing better. Are you going to give up a first-rounder for him? He's a little older of a player. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. So you don't really know who is going to be available to kind of help out a roster, especially as constructed by, you know, with the New York Islanders, until it kind of manifests. We didn't know the Islanders were going to wind up trading for Ryan Smith all those years ago. Kind of just happened out of nowhere. Other than that, I know we would have been joking on Twitter that the count is like in the 570-day range since Lou Lamoriello has made a trade. And I don't want to trade for the sake of making a trade. I want to trade, or I want to see a trade that's going to improve this roster and give them a better chance of winning. But what's the end goal here? Obviously, it's to win a Stanley Cup. Are the Islanders going to win a Stanley Cup this season as constructed? You can't say. Look what happened last year with St. Louis. St. Louis fired their coach in the middle of the season, came on like gangbusters the second half, snuck into the playoffs per se, but they made the playoffs ultimately, and they beat other teams into submission. They were like the Islanders of the West with their structure and their physicality and everything else, and, you know, managed to beat out Boston there in the Stanley Cup final. So you give the Islanders an opportunity to succeed. There's my accent and my stumbling over words again, to kind of get to the next level. You know, and you never know what's going to happen. I think that's what fans really have been calling for and arguing about on message boards, on Reddit, on Twitter. You obviously have to give to get. You need to add, and you never know what's going to happen. We have a lot of roster decisions to make next year, a lot of contracts to hand out. It's going to kind of be interesting to see what happens, and maybe that's why Lou Lamoriello is kind of sitting on his hands right now. You know, in the eyes of the fan, at least. I know that's not how I see things as being. You know, he's not just not doing his job. He's not pulling a Garth Snow and saying he's going to kick tires. You know, we kick tires, and if there was an opportunity to improve our club, we would have. We're not going to hear those cliche things anymore. We're just not. This is a different management, and I know at this point not a lot has been done in his tenure so far, aside from signing Brassard and Komarov and, you know, some of the other questionable decisions. Contract Eberle, I know nobody really likes right now, but he was hurt. So we're going to see what happens. It's fun to speculate. It's fun to complain. It's good to vent, you know, and it's good to have discussions on all the different areas that we can talk. But at the end of the day, they have to look for the right deal for this club at this point in time. Because what are the New York Islanders? That's the biggest question. In fact, I might even name that this episode. I don't know. What are the New York Islanders? Who are the New York Islanders? We don't know. We're still finding that out. Obviously, under Barry Trotz, it's a little more clear what their identity is. They're a hardworking team. You have to fight for your space, is what Quenneville just said. Who can fit into those spots that are going to be open for the New York Islanders? Who is going to enable Barry Trotz to roll four lines, to really get this team to the next level and pass the second round of the playoffs? I want to see them pass the second round. I want to see them win a Stanley Cup, 100%. I'm not sure if it's going to be this season. I'm not sure if this is the year. We have a very good window of opportunity here. There are a lot of young players in the system ready to come up. Arthur Staples said in his question and answer yesterday that maybe they don't want to give up on some of those players that they have. It took them this long to build up the depth that they have. And, you know, Bridgeport really is kind of struggling right now. They have had their own injuries. Some of their players have been up with the big club for a long stretch. I know a lot of people are pointing fingers at Brent Thompson down there. I don't know what the answer is down there either. I know the focus is not on winning a Calder Cup down there. Yeah, it would be great for those players to experience winning down there at that level. But all that does down there is it's another trophy, right? I mean, yeah, winning is an important aspect of everything in life, or at least in sports. But at the end of the day, growth is the most important thing. Development is the most important thing. Winning shouldn't really be the end game down there. It would be great to accomplish, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that should be the focus right now. Whether Brent Thompson or not is the correct coach, I don't get paid enough money, period, especially when it comes to what we're doing right now, to make those decisions or even make informed opinions on that. I can just give you my quick little take. I can't really help you there. It's, again, fun to argue about, though. Now, as we're talking, like I said, would probably happen. It's been confirmed by Andrew Gross on Twitter that Nick Leddy will not participate in tonight's game down in Sunrise. And Thomas Greiss gets the start, extending that rotation to 30 games, extending the franchise record rotation to 30 games as well. So the rotation lives on, as they say, or at least as we say. One other quick little bit of information here that I think is relative to everything that's been going on. Someone ran into some of the Bridgeport Sound Tiger players the other day, and a lot of the guys down there were very obviously happy to speak, take pictures, sign autographs, and someone who is typically very approachable and very friendly has been, you know, former, I guess you should say, NHLer and current Bridgeport Sound Tiger, Andrew Ladd, who's been down for a couple weeks there on an extended conditioning stint. He cleared waivers to go down to Bridgeport, but he didn't seem very happy. And obviously, the guy wants to be in the NHL. His health has kind of been an issue since he signed that crazy contract with the Islanders a couple seasons ago. And I can't really blame him for being annoyed for being down there. But, you know, one of those situations that kind of unavoidable. He's been playing fairly well down in Bridgeport. A couple of goals, bunch of assists. I know Arthur Staples said in his question and answer little thing there for The Athletic yesterday that at some point, you know, you could wind up seeing Andrew Ladd back up with the big club, be it to replace for injury or just to kind of give them more depth at the wing, which they definitely need. It's just a matter of if Andrew Ladd's ultimately going to be ready and able to play back in the NHL. So we'll look out for that as well. Obviously, we're going to be moving into the holiday trade freeze here. There's going to be a few opportunities for me to get a couple of episodes out over the next couple of weeks. I am fortunate enough to have a very long break here for the holidays. Some other things transpiring for me behind the scenes in a positive way. I know I had a really crappy month last month, as you all know, but I have a potential new job that I may be starting here in January, waiting on a couple of little confirmations on some things, but it's going to be very good for me. It'll be much closer to home, as much as I don't want to leave my current job because I like it. But this is the same job, closer to home, kind of can't go wrong. So I don't know what availability will be once I start. I mean, there'll still be the same opportunities to do things, but here and there over the next couple of weeks might be hit or miss. So just bear with me. I apologize for the gap in recording, but I kind of got to try to fit it in when I can, like today. As always, please support my sponsor, Kings Coast Coffee. Head on over to their website. Check out all the blends, Lamplighter, the fantastic chocolate that they have for the holidays. I have not tasted that yet, but I am going to get over to their roastery over there in Shirley very soon. Use the code FAITHFULISLES at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Check them out on Twitter at Kings Coast, at the website kingscoast.com. Seriously, the best coffee I've ever had. Really is good. And as always, head on over to the Apple Podcasts. Give us a review, or Spotify. We are pretty much on every single platform. Still waiting on iHeartRadio for some strange reason. But you could stream everywhere that podcasts are consumed, including the website. Again, drop a coin or two in our bucket. There's a link to donate on the website. We'll put it in the show notes. Always fun, always exciting. Hopefully the boys do well down there in their last day of sunny South Florida. Let's go, Islanders, and we'll talk to you next episode.